Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Betches Media presents At Betches, a podcast hosted by Betches co-founders Jordana Abraham, Sammy Sage, and me, Aileen Drexler. We talk about it all, from the latest celeb drama to the best movies and TV shows out now. We share all of our thoughts, even the unpopular ones. Welcome to our pop culture group chat. Hello and welcome back to the At Betches podcast. I'm Aileen.
I'm Sammy.
And I'm Jordana. Back from my favorite thing, which was moving, as you know, and getting used to living near Sammy and Aileen. Sammy and I played tennis this morning.
You did?
We did.
We didn't invite you because you're 8 months pregnant and we didn't think you'd want to join.
I think I'm nine.
Oh, sorry. Well,
I don't know.
Aileen, if you want to sit on the bench next time while we play.
So useless. Like, I refuse to like pick up a ball.
You don't need to pick up the balls. We picked those up. We got those. We're good.
I can be your judge. That'll be fun.
You can hold the water bottles.
I'll be the water boy. Okay. I'll be Adam Sandler.
You could just hand them to us when we walk over there.
So did you guys like play? Was it like good?
No. Sammy can tell you how my tennis game.
There's just no way, Jordana. Like it was that fun.
Here's the thing. No, it was fun because it was just like us talking and hitting the ball. Like that's fun. But you know, I think Jordana, you play a little bit like it's pickleball. Like you stand in the middle of the court. And
Mike always says that too. Like, You need to move back.
Right. You gravitate to like the center line. Uh-huh. And I'm like, why not move back?
Can't be in no man's land.
I feel like I'm just kind of like sporadically just like trying to just like there's no like rhyme or reason to the way that I hit the ball.
You play tennis like you ski. Like you're just getting down.
Well, that'll tell you a little bit about my athletic abilities.
Having never really learned how to play tennis, like you can get the ball over the net. Like we could hit back and forth a bunch of times, you know,
it's like skiing. I can get down the mountain. Like I can do blues, like fine. Like
You guys could rally.
Yeah. We had a good rally. I mean, I also haven't played in 2 years. So it did take me
it got better as we played.
I think next time I would be better to start than I was this time.
I think you probably need like 3 lessons from an actual instructor that will show you how to swing better. And then you can start doing that swing and then you'll just gradually get better. Like the more you do it and you don't need to play like games. Like we don't need to play a game.
I like playing games though.
Why?
I don't actually like playing tennis, like matches. I love rallying.
Right. The rallying's the fun part.
I think doubles is fun.
Doubles is fun. But like, here's the thing with the game. It's like,
so much pressure.
Why do you want to like end the rally if, basically, when you're playing a game, you want the rallies to end because you want to win one. When you're just hitting, you want to keep it going. So it's more fun.
That's something someone who's not competitive at all would say.
No, Avi's very competitive and he and I just hit. But it's like, okay, we want to keep it going as long as possible. So it's like a team. It's like a team effort to keep it going longer for both of us.
I see what you're saying. It's
because if you stop the rally, then you have to like start over, get the ball, blah, blah, blah. That's not fun.
Yeah,
that's true. Yeah. I mean, I agree. It's more fun to play when you're like not someone's not trying to hit it so far away from you that it's just very stressful.
I understand if you're like in a league and you want to play tennis games, like that's its own thing. But we're just playing as friends.
Here's my issue with all sports that and I say sports loosely. I'm very bad at controlling like more than one limit of time. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
I can do like one,
one
like,
leg at a time.
Yeah, well, it's just kind of like, I don't like having to know where every body part has to be in the right place. That's just not a skill of mine. Like, it's why I'm not good dancing. Like, you know, really good dancers, you see like backup dancers, they like, their whole body is moving like in sync in like different ways than the other parts of their body. And that's just not something
like multitasked movement.
Right. Yeah. On their bodies. And that's just not a skill. I'm learning, you know, it's funny. I'm moving into this house. I'm learning a lot of things that I can't do.
Like what?
Oh.
What
else? Like decorate or move my body in tandem with one other part.
You can't decorate.
No, that's true. But like on a
But there's a lot of like house maintenance that I'm sure you've realized you can't do, like plumbing. Like we, you know.
Oh, I've always known I couldn't.
No, but like you always knew you couldn't decorate either.
I can't play tennis.
She didn't know. She didn't know.
Jordana, you knew you. Jordana, you know you can't.
Her studio apartment was really pretty.
Yeah. I thought I did a great job with my studio.
I mean, it's not like you're like a bad decorator, but you know that's not like
my skill.
That's right. Not like, like also a studio apartment is like so a very different endeavor than like a house, which even I think people who are like good at it are, it's an
really
endeavor.
Difficult.
But yeah, no, we should play tennis more.
I'm taking lessons in a few months once I am ready.
Do you have an instructor? We're looking.
I'm going to do it through the tennis place near me.
Oh, okay. Well, I definitely want to play more. Maybe we could do a tournament.
Why don't we do a group lesson?
Yeah. Or we could do a Betches doubles tournament.
I want private lessons.
Oh, she wants private lessons. Okay, Jordana, we can split the cost of lessons.
Yes, but you're like better than me. But
it doesn't matter. It's not like we'd be like he would just instruct me, and then he or she, whoever they are, would instruct you. My tennis pros have always been men.
Also, you have to play indoors in the winter, so that's why you have to like go to a place. You can't like do outdoor tennis.
I mean, you could do outdoor tennis probably through like December.
December sounds a little cold.
Depends on the global warming that year.
That's true. Listen, we all know that scratchy PJs can make a cranky kid. I want my kids to be comfy when they sleep and are rested in the morning. And that's why I snuggle them up in Little Sleepies. Little Sleepies makes award-winning bamboo PJs that moms rave about. I am said mom. I am obsessed with Little Sleepies. They are so, so, so soft. I just got one that was the Checkmates Zippy for my son Lucas. It's so adorable and it's limited edition, so everybody go check it out. Little Sleepy's Zip Romper Pajamas, aka Zippies, the ones that I got, were designed with thoughtful details like fold over feet, mittens, and a double zipper to make the middle of the night diaper changes easier. Made from the buttery soft custom milled Luna Luxe bamboo viscose, their zip footy pajamas are gentle on sensitive skin and babies with eczema. But what parents rave about the most? How long they fit. And Little Sleepies makes the best baby shower gift. They have inclusive sizing from preemie to adults 3X. There are also nursing and pregnancy-friendly styles available for adults. So try a pair of Little Sleepies today. Fair warning, you'll never go back. You can try Little Sleepies for yourself by visiting littlesleepies.com. Plus, get 15% off your order on littlesleepies.com with code BETCHES. That's littlesleepies.com with promo code BETCHES.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. What's the right amount of socializing for you? And how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you just need some more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. I've been in therapy for years, and nothing has transformed my life quite as much as my therapy experience. And one of the things that I love about therapy is that it gives me all the tools I need to figure out how to manage my time, and also figuring out what depletes me, what gives me energy. Sometimes too much socializing depletes me, so I've learned how to manage the amount of time that I'm going out versus staying in, the amount of new people I'm meeting versus making sure I have that me time for myself, and that's definitely a skill that I've honed in therapy. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/betches today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/betches.
Shall we talk about the pop culture of
the pop
week?
Culture?
There is a lot going on.
There's a lot
As
going
I
on.
Say every week, most weeks.
But there really is this week.
Should we start with the lead?
The lead. What do you consider the lead?
I think the Britney Spears divorce is the lead.
I think so too.
It's still a little bit like anticlimactic though.
It's not shocking.
Well, there's just not that much information about like why, how. There's not.
He filed for divorce.
Was she the one with no prenup? I'm a little worried.
Yeah, and Octavia Spencer, I think, commented like when they had a wedding announcement, like make him sign a prenup on her Instagram.
I'm very upset that she doesn't have a prenup. This is upsetting for me.
But like, okay, we're assuming that this man is.
It's a little suspect.
A regular husband, and that like.
I never thought he was a regular husband, but also he's saying that she's cheated on him and she's denying that entirely. And it's just weird. And then I saw something online and I just have no idea if it was real news or fake news. So I apologize for just sharing a rumor, but that he's like asking for more money to keep secrets. Like,
who could have predicted this?
Is that not blackmail?
I don't know if I read it on like something that was fed to me via Explore.
Extortion, right?
Okay, so maybe it's not true because we wouldn't know about it and sounds illegal. So I apologize for sharing this rumor.
Extortion is definitely illegal.
Okay, I don't think that this story has very many reliable narrators in it, to be honest. Like, yeah. I don't think anyone in the story is a reliable narrator. Like, I don't think this relationship was ever...
Did you know that he's 29?
Really?
I think my husband heard he was younger.
She's 41.
Fair enough.
And he's 29.
Okay, all of this was incredibly predictable. But at least we got to see their wedding. It was, and Paris Hilton went, and
I'm just worried that he's like another person taking advantage of her.
100%.
And that he's like this con man who's like pretending to like giving her like love so that he can marry her and then divorce her and get alimony.
We've always sort of thought that.
It was not out of the realm of possibility that all along he has been sort of a, not hired.
Long game.
Long game, but not like a hired boyfriend, but like.
He was placed by the conservatorship, I always thought.
Placed.
People have thought.
Placed conveniently. And I feel like this was always sort of extremely inevitable.
But it is weird that he's accusing her of cheating. Like that to me is a weird part of the story. Yeah.
Well, that's probably why he's trying to justify he's the one filing for divorce. But if I were him and I had a master plan, I listen to a lot of true crime podcasts. If I had a master plan for this scenario, I would generate some cheating rumors so that I look like less of a scam artist to justify my divorce, like my asking for this divorce so early and then getting my alimony for however many years he's going to take her for.
Right. I also like
there's got to be a reason, mm-hmm. like a thing that sparked something for him to just like go.
Right. So he doesn't seem like a complete asshole.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think she could have cheated, could have not. Like, whether he's saying, I believe that he would not, there's nothing that he wouldn't do. He strikes me as that type of person.
I just don't think this marriage is like at all real. And like, even if he's saying that she cheated, maybe they already had like this open relationship where both were seeing other people and it was just there for convenience and something happened where he's like, I'm over it. And now he's just like saying this cheating thing so that like publicly there is like a reason or like, you know, an inciting event for it to, so people don't like speculate further, which they obviously are.
The cheating could have also been like someone else kind of taking advantage of her, if you know what I mean? Like, she posts a lot of nudes on the internet and like, who knows what she thought she was getting into when she's talking to some person. You just really don't know. Like,
I just feel like she's too, like she has so much security. It would be tough to cheat. Like,
well, the security is employed by her.
Well, like, she hired them. They're taking her to the guy's house.
Or the guy's coming over.
I don't know. I just feel like she'd be like easily manipulated into something. I don't know.
I think that she'd be easily manipulated into everything. And so all of this is very hard to parse through because everyone's motivations are just very skewed.
Well, it's not the end of it all, too. Like, there's going to be so much more that comes out. I have a very strong suspicion.
Totally.
But also, like, another breakup. There's so many breakups.
There are breakups. I don't like put this in the category of
why not?
Regular
it's celeb breaks. Divorce.
Just
they've been together forever.
Because you don't think it was a real relationship?
Well, it's not love.
Just because it doesn't feel the same to me as the same situation. It feels like it's in the Britney Spears controversy category rather than the celebrity divorce category, you know? But apparently Britney is going to be maybe sitting down with Oprah for a tell-all before her book comes out.
I would watch that.
100%. But it's not confirmed. She's considering a TV interview with Oprah before The Woman in Me is released in October. So she has 4 weeks to decide if she wants to accept. And that will be like her first time to actually speak from her own words publicly without editing. I don't know.
I think if she's going to do it, it's got to be with Oprah.
Agreed.
It can't be with anyone else. It has to be with Oprah.
No, agreed. Oprah or none.
Not Bethany Frankel.
Definitely not Bethany Frankel.
No, I think Oprah's a good one.
Agreed.
Silenced or were you silenced?
Oprah could just recycle the same questions. Uh-huh. And like, you know.
There's been so much on Page Six, back and forth about Harry and Meghan versus what Kate's having late night talks with Harry. And you know that
what?
It's all fed news.
Late night talks with Harry. What?
Yeah, like private chats, and he's like doing it behind Meghan's back, and but it's all fake. It's all fake.
No, Aileen,
it's not real.
It's rumors. It's gossip. It's gossip.
No, it's not. It's not gossip.
Regardless of whether it's real or fake or rumors or totally made up, the fact is that they are reporting it for a reason. There's a PR, someone who's...
That's what I mean. It's a PR-fed narrative, and that's what I'm trying to read through it. And so my process, what I'm reading is that I think Harry's trying to reconcile with the royals, yes. And the royals are working on it, too. Like, there's a lot. It's like so much. And then at the same time, we predicted that Meghan is starting a blog. So Meghan entered Instagram as Meghan, right? We predicted that. Go us. Sammy, mm-hmm. Actually, you did it. But we figured it out together.
Someone tagged us. Yeah.
Oh, I must have missed that.
Yeah. They were like, we called it.
We should keep a list.
And then also she was seen photographed, also fake. Everybody was like obsessed that she was wearing this like coat in the middle of like the warm weather. But she was wearing like some wellness patch. And like people were like, what is this? Wellness patch.
It is very hot. Just it's not coat weather. Just
and so again, I think that she's ready to launch like Meghan Goop and
the Goop.
How many Goops do we need?
She had Goop before Goop.
Yeah, she Tig. Was like the Tig.
She had the Tig. The Tig predated. Maybe it was the same time as Goop, but it definitely predated Poosh.
Yeah,
for that sure. Was like I think the Tig is really who Meghan is. Like to me,
yeah.
Elitist recommendations. With like a soft touch.
Do it up, Megs.
That's influencer life. Like Meghan is an influencer at her core.
Can we talk about Page Six and how good they are at clickbait? Like I don't read many articles on the internet. I really just don't. But I just feel like their headlines are so, like I want to know more. Like I read a lot of their news stories.
You click to learn more.
Yes.
link in the bio. Okay.
Yes.
I agree with you, but I also think that has to do with what the publicists are feeding them. Like
yeah.
It's not about they're not reporting. They're receiving.
They don't have journalists.
Right. Yes. Like they're receiving information. Yeah.
Totally.
They're a well-titled bulletin board.
That's why but it's fun because it's sort of like a PR like a PR puzzle.
Right.
And so yes. I like read the headlines and I'm like, okay, what are each PR team trying to tell me?
Yeah. That's how I read it too. It's like, what impression are they aiming to, what direction are they aiming in?
So they have a lot of that type of stuff, but then there's also, oh, actually Harry and Meghan are happily together.
That's probably from Meghan.
I also red flag it when I notice that they're being nice to Meghan and Harry because that means that, okay, maybe they're doing some smoothing over the royal family. The royal family is the one who pays Page Six, not the other way around because it's Daily Mail, right?
You think it's payment? I don't think it's payment. I think it's like access.
Okay, well, whatever. They have an agreement.
Yeah, it's exclusives, and it's also like it's not only the royal family. Meghan could do it. Anyone could do it.
Yes, but I'm sure they have, like, there's no way that they haven't arranged, like, an exclusivity. Like, you can't get paid by Meghan.
No, but it's not about paid. It's like you can get, they're going to take tips from anyone, and they're going to try to tell the most engaging story for them. It's not like they're like, we are working in for the interest of the royal family only. They'll work in their own interests.
I don't think
as
so.
Far, of course it is. When
I think celebrities pay Page Six, especially Bethany Frankel, to keep them in the news.
But they don't all.
No, not all. But
I don't think the royal family needs to pay Page Six. Because they have interesting secrets.
Right. But my thing is, like, they have, we know the press arrangement with the royal family. Page Six is owned by Daily Mail, right? It's New York Post, Page Six.
Owned by the same. I think they're both
owned. It's Murdoch.
Owned by the same, by Fox, like
New York Post.
But it doesn't matter. It's not like that cut and dry. It's in this situation. It's like they're trying to create drama so more people will read. So if they have conflicting things that come from different sides, they're still going to post them because it benefits them. But I do think there are situations where, like, maybe they would not publish something at the behest of the more powerful party. Which in this case, but they're still not going to be like, no, we will not post that Meghan and Harry are happy today.
It depends on the arrangement. I don't believe.
But I don't
that
think
it's
that.
So like,
I don't
oh,
think
yeah,
it's
post whatever you want, guys.
No, I if don't. Meghan think is. It's, there's no arrangement. There's no spoken arrangement. It's like understood. It's like there's no signed agreement between all these people. It's just like you're gonna. That's how publicists. It's all like. It's all soft suggestion, the way they talk in Succession, where they never really say what they're saying.
But there are people, there are celebrities who pay them to stay relevant.
I'm sure, yes, they'll accept payment from those celebrities.
Have you guys been reading about Tori Spelling?
No. How much is she paying?
Well, Tori Spelling's, it's not that positive, so I don't think she's paying for it. But the headlines that I read about Bethany Frankel on Page Six, I'm like, this is not news, and there is just 0%, she is not... has a monthly retainer with Page Six, where like she's promised certain headlines about literally nothing. It's
you
literally
think she has
nothing.
A monthly retainer written out.
Oh, for sure. I
can't see that.
You have to anytime you follow Page Six, see any type of headline you read about Bethany that doesn't have to do with like zeitgeisty stuff, like the Raquel interview.
I believe there is something, but I don't think it's written out. Is my point?
Oh,
like
for sure. They pay
you
them.
Think?
Yeah. There's no way.
Maybe someone could let us know.
All right. But I heard, just on the note of this conversation, I heard with Tori Spelling, you know how they're like taking pictures of her in a trailer park?
Yeah.
With her family and saying like she's like very poor now.
And her mom won't put her up.
Yeah. Even though her dad is Tori Spelling and he has like hundreds of millions of dollars.
Yeah.
Whatever.
I grew up across the street from Aaron Spelling.
Exactly. Legally Blonde. But I heard she's maybe like trying to pitch some reality show, and that is why she is like allowing herself to be photographed outside of trailer parks
with
her kids. Otherwise, like, I'm sure she could find someone.
She can. Okay, here's why. Because Josh Flagg, Million Dollar Listing, LA, BFF with like Candy Spelling, and also read that Josh Flagg offered Tori like one of his homes to stay, and she said, no, thanks. I want to teach my kids something. No chance.
She's because she probably trying to pitch a show about teaching her kids.
Yeah, exactly.
Some shit. Yeah.
I agree with that. That makes sense.
Interesting.
For years, I've been using men's razors because the quality of razors for women is seriously questionable. But disposable men's razors feel like settling. I finally tried the Athena Club razor I've been seeing online, and it was truly the easiest, smoothest shave ever. My old razors, honestly, they would rust up so quickly, and the shave I would get was so dull. My legs would get super dry. It would just be like an uncomfortable razor experience. But this razor is truly worth the hype. If you haven't tried it, you really need to give it a shot. Step up your shaving game now with Athena Club's award-winning razor kit. It's seriously the best on the market, and here's why. First of all, the Athena Club razor kit is an absolute steal at just $10. But don't let the price fool you. This razor packs a serious punch. It comes with a beautifully made ergonomic handle and two super sharp razor heads that deliver an incredibly smooth shave every time. You also get a game-changing magnetic hook in the razor kit for easy storage. This means no sitting your razor on the edge of your tub, no more goopy blades, no more razor falling down your shower floor in the middle of the night. Athena Club's razor glides effortlessly thanks to those five precision engineered blades. The blades are perfectly spaced out to let your hair pass through with each stroke, and you'll experience less irritation, which is always a win in my book. Are you ready to upgrade your shaving experience? Switch to the best razor on the market and show your skin you care with Athena Club. Head over to athenaclub.com to try their award-winning razor and body products and get 20% off your purchase with code BETCHES at checkout. You can also find Athena Club razors at your local Target store. Trust me, you won't look back. Happy shaving. Around the office, we have so many colorful framed art prints and photos. It creates such a fun atmosphere, and it gives our space that unique Betches character. I wanted to frame some stuff at home too, but custom framing can be so difficult and so expensive. So the things I want to display end up collecting dust in a closet. But FrameBridge makes it easy and affordable to get your special artwork and memories in frames so you can spice up your space with ease. I love FrameBridge. I framed my ketubah for my wedding. The process was unbelievably easy. They send you a canister to send in your artwork. They send you a few different options of ways that they can frame it. You get to pick. They're actually helping me also design the frame that works best with the picture and best for my home. And getting custom frames can be difficult. FrameBridge is easy and affordable to custom frame just about anything. You can easily order online at framebridge.com or visit a retail store if you need some guidance. You can also upload a digital photo for them to print or mail your item in using their free, secure, prepaid packaging. Then FrameBridge custom frames your piece in the studio using the highest quality materials and ships it to your door in days for free. See why FrameBridge has been trusted to frame over 2 million pieces. Visit framebridge.com or a local FrameBridge store to get started and custom frame just about anything. That's framebridge.com.
All right, while we're talking about people who were famous a long time ago, Ashley Olsen and her husband apparently had a baby. They had their first baby. Her and her husband, is it Louis or Louis Eisner? Do you know? All right. All right. Well, her and her husband.
Louis. I'm making that.
Louis or Louis. I don't know. Someone let us know. They got married in December 2022. They were totally private. They didn't say they were even having a baby, but now they have one. And do we even know if it's a boy or a girl?
I thought I read that it was a son.
I know the name. A boy. I know the name. What's I the follow name? This Olsen fan account for reasons I don't know.
Because of the Full House connection?
Maybe. I just really do like the Olsen twins. They're just such, they're just I so like that mysterious. They're,
I
like,
I agree. I love the mystery. And we're interested in them. They don't have to pay Page Six.
No. Okay. Their son is named Otto Mozart Eisner.
Mozart. Wow.
Otto. I like Otto. I like that. Good for them.
The Olsons, I feel like, are a good example of people who actually just want to be rich and not famous.
Yeah. And they're like, we're not going to sell ourselves if we don't need to.
Right. Because they already were famous. Same. I don't think they liked it. And now they're just like, let us just like be quietly make money. With like the
rock. And like be a fashion house.
Because also they like went through some stuff when they were in their like early 20s. And they probably were like, this screws up our lives. It screws up our mental health. We don't need to do it because we have money and we have other aspirations. They were really smart about The Row. And
like. And also talented. Like they couldn't have made The Row if they.
Right.
They didn't
they
have
had
that.
Like a fashion instinct that they like actually cultivated rather than like sold out is what it was. They worked with like serious people. I'm sure they didn't design it in, you know, they hired the right people.
They might have. They had that line at Target when they were like in like teenagers. They probably had a very early intro into fashion when they were just like marketing their names. And then they probably realized like, oh, we're actually better at fashion than we are at acting, which is true. But we're really famous, so we can just parlay our name into like making something super high end and fashiony.
Yeah. Now Lizzie Olsen is the actress in the family, and she's I think she's a great actress.
She's much better actress than them.
Right. I mean, they were kid actresses. They were not like trained to act. Like they just did.
Just like they were just trained to like say cute little lines
and be twins.
Well.
Yeah. And look cute, and then you know walk around with Starbucks in their hand later on.
Yeah, love them. Very alluring.
Yeah, on this fan account, she posted some stories of the only times that Ashley has stepped out during the times that she was, like, allegedly pregnant. And I guess not allegedly, but she's just wearing her big row coat.
I think I saw her.
Didn't you see her? When? Was she wearing a big coat?
I saw her in April on the street.
You would never have noticed that she was pregnant.
By our office. No, I didn't even. Okay, so it's funny. I saw someone. It was like April, but it was pretty hot out that day. And there was someone wearing like a short woman, blonde woman, where I think I took a picture of the back of her, like a most annoying person in New York. And she was wearing like a long black clothes. And then I was like, is that?
And a coat.
Mary-Kate or Ashley Olsen. I don't know the difference. Yeah, and a coat. And then like I turned around and they were wearing big ass sunglasses. But it was like, I could tell it was her. And she saw me looking at her. And then she went to the side of the street and like turned into the mall.
That was her. Left.
Yes.
Because I also had a similar interaction where she did that several years ago. Or one of them. I was walking behind her going where she was coming out of SoulCycle. And like as soon as I saw her and she saw me see her, she like tried
retreated.
She like ducked away. And I was like, I wasn't going to stop her. Like, I'm not, right. You know.
The outfit is almost less their aesthetic and more like their camouflage.
She was wearing SoulCycle stuff at the time.
Oh, so I was once in a SoulCycle class with one of them.
On 83rd Street, right? Like that's where they went. Yeah. So they definitely are like giving off the vibe, like, leave me alone.
Yeah.
I'm into it.
Strong leave me alone vibes.
I like that.
Okay. Agreed.
Good for them. Happy for which Al Olsen was it that had the baby? Ashley. Happy for Ashley.
Should we talk about someone who does not know how to just go away and be rich?
Yes. And I know who you're talking about. It's Bethany.
She is
something else.
Yeah. It's a lot. There's a few things that I think are like part of this conversation. Do you want to start with the Raquel of it all, or do you want to talk about like Bethany's sudden interest in workers' rights?
I want to hear about it all because I haven't been following this story that closely. So can someone explain what's going on to me? Like I'm five.
Yeah. Okay, what do you, Aileen, what do you find to be like the more, where do you think we should start? Yeah.
I'll just give you the context. Okay, so since the strike, the actor strike, all of it, the SAG strike, Bethany decides like, oh, I'm going to be the face. I noticed it was like after they revealed, like it was on social that like Fran Drescher was like the head of like the SAG.
She's right? Always been the head of SAG, but she had a good speech. No,
you never really knew about it. It wasn't really that public. Everyone was sort of like, oh my God, like the nanny is the head of the SAG after whatever. So then Bethany's like, oh shit, like I can be the head of like the reality union. Let's make a reality star union. So she starts posting.
She says that she just like threw out one random comment. Like, yeah. And then it spiraled from there.
She starts posting. She starts now hashtagging it the reality reckoning.
She's not even on reality shows anymore.
No, well, she wants to be because she keeps pitching them.
Apparently, okay. She recently pitched a Bravo show.
That she says started 2 years ago, and then they like tried to take her. They tried to like take the show from her, and they were trying to make another Housewives, and she didn't like it.
She had a reality show on HBO. I watched it, and so she's trying to unionize the reality stars. Is basically what
she's doing. Not actually trying to unionize the reality stars. She is collecting complaints, and she got in touch with a big name lawyer whose name she likes to drop, and they are big names. That they started like collecting complaints from reality people. And then she probably started feeding into like Page Six, like Bethany's talking to these people. Bethany's talking to Nene. Bethany's talking to so-and-so about how they were mistreated on reality TV. Unless I'm just not hearing about it, I don't see what union there is. Like, you have to sign people up for a union. Like, there's
No, but we don't know what's going on behind the scenes. I think that is her ultimate goal, is what I'm saying. She wants to create a union for reality stars. And
I don't think she's actually doing anything to
we don't know
further that cause. I think what she's actually doing is just having lawyers write scary letters.
Can't she just join her co-op board like a normal middle-aged woman?
That's not enough. She's been on Bravo.
She does have like a great, you know, like rescue, like be strong and all
right.
that.
Right, and now we
like
would love to have her help right now.
She is doing that. I think she is doing that. And I'm glad that she does that. Like, that's an amazing thing that she's using her star power to do. And okay, so she wants to remain relevant through that. Great. I think that's an amazing thing.
Wait, so, but why when, if you want to help people, disaster relief, why not when there's a giant disaster in Maui? You're not gonna.
They are doing that. They are.
But remember when she was getting all this press for flying to Puerto Rico and handing out cash?
Yes.
You know, it's very like, oh, now I'm focusing on the victim, Raquel Levis, the biggest victim we have in society right now. It would be one thing if she were, if it felt like she was actually creating a union and like partnering with an existing union to be like, we're going to form a chapter. Like there's a process that's legally protected, but it doesn't seem like that's actually part of what's going on here. It's not a sexy thing to organize a union. It is very sexy to get your name in Page Six and to interview Raquel, even though she didn't even watch Vanderpump and doesn't know. She says like, I don't watch the show. I don't know what's going on. It's like, this is just the worst example of what you're trying to prove. Cause the thing is, I do agree with like the idea of her cause. Like reality stars should have protections. There should be like a reality cast members like Bill of Rights. There should be workplace protections mm-hmm. for them. And you can achieve that by unionizing. Again, she's talking about like residuals, which the whole point of the writers and actors strike is that residuals are no longer relevant. So it's just, and then she brings Raquel on, who was the worst example of exploitation ever, because Raquel hid her affair from the producers. The producers didn't exploit her affair. She hid it from them. It's just, and her interview was just so bad. It like, she doesn't know enough.
Also just the way in which I thought, the way in which it dropped too, it was just like suddenly that morning, Bethany sits down with Rachel, because she's officially going by Rachel now. And
I'm calling her Raquel still.
And the whole interview, the beginning of the interview, and in two parts. I didn't get a chance to listen to part two, which came out today, but I listened to part one. Sammy, you said you read about part two.
I read the summary.
Part one started off where I don't watch VPR. Your people came to me. Why did you choose me? And like, Rachel was like,
my mom likes you.
You're forced to be reckoned with, and they like what she likes, what she's been saying, using Raquel as the example for how reality stars are being exploited. But the irony, I suppose, hypocrisy, I'm not sure which one it is, but she's like exploiting Raquel's situation, whatever it is, for her benefit. Like the whole because everything that Raquel, Sammy, you felt this, right? Like every time she would have a response to Raquel, it always came back to, how can I put in my cause? How can I say, oh, were the cameras up then? She said that to one of them. She was like, oh, were you still filming? And this shouldn't have happened on reality. Like, it was just like a lot about that. And the interview, like, it really seemed like, and Sammy, I know you said this to me too, but I agree that like Raquel seemed like she's really learned a lot through therapy. Like she's a little bit more aware, and she seems like she's on some path to healing. But Bethany was just like, it's not
Bethany
your fault.
Literally, you heard Bethany. Raquel came, I think, with like a good posture of like, I'm learning these things. A good interviewer, a real true Bravo interviewer, would have dug in like, tell me what you learned. Why? What did this have to do with Tom Sandoval? Tell us more about Tom Sandoval.
She doesn't even know what's going on, it sounds like. She doesn't watch the show.
She just said she watched the reunion.
But here's, okay, so Bethany, you literally heard Bethany undo all of Raquel's 2 months of therapy, because she basically is like, Raquel's like taking responsibility in her first like 5 minutes. And then Bethany's, but it's the show. It's not your fault. Like, it's not that big a deal. They weren't even married. Like, Bethany undoes, like, basically talks her out of accountability on air. And, like, it's
sort of.
She guides her. She set her back within 15 minutes. Like, she guides her out of it and makes it like, it's the show. It's someone else. You shouldn't be getting all this hate. And it's like, okay, here's what really kills me. She doesn't challenge her on anything. Like, Raquel, she's like, you guys weren't even really good friends. You were just like show friends. And Raquel's like, yeah, we never hung out alone together off camera. Like, okay,
she says
I'm
that?
Sure. Raquel says that. But wow. Also.
Not a good look.
Bethany, I thought know. You watched the reunion. What about the part where Raquel suggested they be in a throuple with this girl you're not that close with because you love her? Like, it's like even the thing that she watched, she can't follow through on because she can only right. see her point. And if she knew the story, she would know that Raquel is not a good demonstration of her point.
At Raquel all. Is very, like, I feel like, manipulative. Not manipulative, but able to be manipulated. What do you call that?
Easily that manipulated?
Word? Easily manipulated.
Suggestible?
Suggestible.
But also susceptible.
Vulnerable.
But it's...
I feel like she could be convinced to agree with anyone she's sitting with.
Correct. But it's not even that. That Raquel... What happened with Raquel is not an example of exploitation on Bravo. It's just not.
What is like, an example?
An example would have been Naked Wasted, Scary Island.
That was actually the first thing that came to my mind was Naked Wasted as well.
Scary Island, I think, when that boat in Cartagena, where there wasn't enough on Roni, where there it was really unsafe and they almost crashed.
But that happened to us too.
No, we were not the same. It's not the same.
Have you ever felt that fast fashion ick but can't always afford the super high-end stuff? I have a solution for you. Nuuly. Nuuly has everything you need to bring your closet up to speed for the season without breaking the bank. Free your closet of impulse purchases and skip the buyer's remorse by renting instead. Nuuly is a subscription clothing rental service. For just $98 a month, you get your choice of any 6 styles each month. You choose whatever you want to rent for whatever you have going on. It's totally up to you. Access to thousands of styles from more than 400 brands. There's no fees, late fees, damage fees, or fees to pause or cancel. So it's no big deal if you lose a button, spill something, or you just need to take a break. They have inclusive sizing up to 5X, as well as petite and maternity. Nuuly is a great value at $98 a month for any 6 styles. But right now, you can get $20 off your first month of Nuuly when you sign up with the code BETCHES20. Just go to NUULY.com. That's Nuuly with 2 U's. And enter the code BETCHES20 and sign up to get $20 off your first month. That's NUULY.com, Nuuly with 2 U's, and use code BETCHES20. Nuuly subscription clothing rental. Change your clothes.
Ready to redefine your relationship with alcohol? Whether you're trying to cut back or just want to explore a non-alcoholic alternative, Athletic Brewing is a game changer. They offer a variety of different full-flavored brews with no alcohol, allowing you to sip and celebrate anytime and anywhere. Do you like hazy IPAs, sweet, fruity sours? Athletic Brewing has an assortment of non-alcoholic beers in almost any style you can think of. One thing I really like is a great Sunday brunch. And sometimes, you know, you kind of want to have a drink during it. But also it's Sunday and you kind of want to get your life together. That's the perfect occasion to have an Athletic Brew non-alcoholic beer. Athletic brews a variety of great-tasting, award-winning non-alcoholic beers, including IPAs, Goldens, Extra Dark Brews, Sours, Hazies, and more, many of which are only available online and for a limited time. They offer hassle-free delivery right to your door when you order at athleticbrewing.com. Athletic Brews Bevs you can drink anytime, anywhere, and still go right back to whatever you were doing. It's a great fit for parenting, playing sports, watching sports, doing chores, late nights, and early mornings, so you can imbibe without worry. And when you support Athletic, you support a company that cares. They're a certified B Corp and donate up to $2 million annually to protect and restore outdoor spaces around the globe through the Two for the Trails program. Try Athletic Brewing non-alcoholic beers for yourself. Use code BETCHES to get 15% off your first order at athleticbrewing.com. That's BETCHES. At checkout for 15% off your first order. Near beer. Exclusions and conditions apply. Athletic Brewing Company. Fit for all times.
More recently on Below Deck, I even watched...
Oh, I heard there was something on Below Deck.
I just watched those episodes. No, but Bravo was... The producers were responsible. And okay. Responsible in a good way. Like responsible producers. And stepped in. And the captain and head... Stu, Aisha, love her, like fired all of the people immediately.
And what happened?
It was really good. What happened? There was one girl, one of the Stu's, she got really drunk at dinner, and one of the guys on the deck crew was also drunk, and he kept like sort of, he was being a little bit too
touchy,
trying to get with her. And Aisha one of the in the car, also drunk. No, this is all crew. Aisha on the way home from, like, because this was, you know, when their whole charter is over. They
have
go
the
out.
Night. They have the day off. The night
and
off.
And so Aisha drunkenly still was like, I'm going to stay with her. I don't like the way that this guy is sort of like, because she passed out on his lap in the van. And he said something like, oh, later, like about hooking up with her. And so Aisha drunkenly was like, I'm going to stay with her. And so she does make sure she gets back to her room safely. And the girl falls asleep. And she's asleep, trying to fall asleep in her room. She leaves because power goes out in the yacht. And then you see the guy, I forget his name because I don't watch the show. I just watched those two episodes. The guy comes into the girl's room trying to like wake her up. What naked. The fuck? He's naked. Gets into her
bed. He's naked.
Bed. He's wow. naked. Gets into the bed with her. She's asleep. And he tries to close the door. And the producer's like, no, man. Like they kick open the door. And the guy like slams it back closed. And then the producers are like, absolutely not. Get out.
Yeah, oh my
you
God.
Have to get out. This is, you can't do this. Sleeping? She's like half asleep. She doesn't really know what's going on.
Right.
Because she's really drunk. But she went to bed. Like there was no like anything.
Right.
So Aisha, who's also kind of drunk, like learns about this later. She comes back and like lays with her, I think. But either way, she gets really upset, Aisha. And she goes, wakes up the captain, tells him what's happened. They kick the guy off the boat, tell him to go to a hotel. The next day, the captain fires him.
That's insane, just because like if someone would do that while they know there are cameras everywhere, imagine what they would do without that.
He was very drunk, exactly. And that was the point, was like you don't know what would have happened if like that door was closed, the cameras were down, mm-hmm. all of that shit. Okay, but then there's second person who was fired. There's the second stew. The third stew was the girl who was drunk. The second stew, the next day, was like, used to hook up with the guy who was fired in the past. She was all like, oh, can we say bye to him? Like, what? He was fired. She was talking to the girl who was sort of the victim in this situation. Was like, oh, I guess maybe I should have just been with him instead. She was saying like all this like weird suggestive stuff. She also said to her, she was like, oh, well, I mean, maybe you were just like leading him on and all of this stuff, like blaming her. She didn't see what happened, but she was very much trying to defend the guy who did something indefensible. So the complaints go to the captain and the captain fires her too. And so I think all of that Oh, and then also she was herself being really, really aggressive towards one of the other deckhands, a guy, trying to like, he kept saying no, no, no. And she kept like still flirting with him and touching him and being weird. So she was fired. And the producers, I think, did a really good job of telling the story. The crew did a really good job of like making sure nobody was exploited. And all of the fans of Below Deck were saying like this was, and Bravo were like applauding Bravo for the way in which they presented the story. But that's great. One example yeah. of something good.
Okay, so like, but that's good that there is like a model. I didn't see it, but there it sounds like it was handled responsibly and like quickly and
yeah, it was,
you know,
good.
Concisely.
It's fucked up.
I think that that's the kind of thing that is totally legitimate, and that should all be like kind of put into official rules. And I completely like agree that this is, it makes sense for Bethany's ideas, but mm-hmm. I just don't think that she is the person who is coming across as trustworthy, especially in the way she's right. Like, get someone who you kind of believe that they actually give a shit and they aren't just doing this for attention. And I don't know. Yeah, she probably would hate that response, but it's like, I don't know. I think there are so many better examples, and that she wants Raquel on her show so she can get a lot of downloads. That's why she split it into three parts.
It sort of happened because, or she started to get the idea, or she claims this was the reason why. It was when she interviewed Jill Zarin. Okay, again, for clout, for attention. She finds out through that interview that the producers told Bethany that Jill knew that Bethany was coming to Bobby's funeral, but Jill actually didn't know that Bethany was coming. And so she was like, you manipulated this whole situation. It's really fucked up. And she seemed like very jarred and not jarred.
Yeah.
She seemed very shocked by all of it. And that's when she was like, this is what I'm going to hang on to. And this is what I'm going to hook into. and now I'm going to start the reality reckoning.
I agree. That's when she got going.
I don't agree necessarily that she's not the person, because she does have, like, she will not stop. And that's a good thing for someone who is fighting for a cause. She doesn't give a shit what anybody thinks of her. She just kind of keeps going. But at the same time, like, she doesn't care if she's liked, is what I mean.
She does.
But, like, she doesn't, like, she wants attention, but she doesn't care at all if people talk shit about her, because she just keeps going.
No, I think she just has a higher tolerance for more people but talking shit about her.
Yeah, okay, so that's a good person. Well,
she's a
person.
Reality star at heart. She wants to be talked about.
Yeah, she wants.
Good or bad.
Right.
I don't know. I totally agree with the cause. I don't know if this is actually what she's doing, though. Like, you're saying is, like, okay, having a lawyer write a letter is not to NBC. It's not actually, like, going to achieve workers' rights. That's not how you achieve that. Like, scaring them when you don't – NBC is not going to lose, quote-unquote, this battle. But they can lose a PR battle. But you need to have the right person fighting it. Like – Bethany using Raquel as the spokesperson for this is so, so bad when there are actual people who were exploited on reality TV. Look at Kim Richards. Like, they should
– True.
Someone like her, like, they shouldn't have allowed her to be filming. What about Taylor Armstrong and that whole situation? Like, there have been really, really, really bad situations on the show that we watched Jen Shah get arrested. Like, it's – there are really, really messed up things that have happened on the show, and – Raquel hiding her affair from the producers and then not monetizing it and then being upset because other people did is not her being exploited by Bravo. It's, you know what? She's just mad that she didn't.
However, all of that said, and also she doubles down in part two. I don't agree that 100% that Bethany, like, changed Raquel's mind. Like, she goes on to this show. She's ready to sort of tell her side. Like,
Bethany encouraged her in a particular direction, whereas a therapist,
she didn't question anything she was saying. So, but there were things that I felt a little bit icked by. Not to talk about Jared's ick, but everyone go stream 37 and Single on Netflix. The ick was my favorite, by the way. There were some things that icked me out by the way that Bravo handled the whole thing, the scandal, like they didn't really step in a lot when Ariana was saying a lot of fucked up shit to Raquel, because, like, they didn't step in. And every single episode of Watch What Happens Live after after every VPR episode was just, like, interviewing, like, a fan, like, a celebrity fan plus a Bravo, a VPR person, just asking the same kind of questions that, like, promoted Raquel / Tom hate. And it just felt a little bit icky to me. It felt icky.
But that's reality TV.
Those people, yeah, there's a sense of, like, reality television, especially this show. You're on this show.
Right. It's not a classy show.
Right. There is some sort of, you know, personal, I do believe in personal responsibility to the extent of, not only are you on this show where this is sort of the vibe of the show, but you're doing something to up the ante of the messed up things that happen on this show. Again, I don't think anyone should, I agree that she, especially Raquel, James, her probably the most justifiable, the other two maybe to detract from themselves. Like, I think that they did cross lines. I don't know if it's Bravo's place to be like, it's kind of the internet should have been a little bit more insulted by that, I think. But we were like,
by
kind
what?
Of blinded. By the fact that she was piled on so intensely on this show. But I don't know that it's Bravo's duty to do that, because that's
Bravo they took a part in it, is what I mean.
But
like,
that's what that's the whole point. That would be like the whole, that's
that
the
was
whole.
All anyone wanted to talk about. No one wanted to talk about anything else. And honestly, like, I don't.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean that it's right 100%. It wasn't, that doesn't mean the method in which.
But what is wrong with talking about the fact that they were cheating?
It wasn't talk. It was like leading questions that were that the polls, all of the games that they play.
That is Bravo. That doesn't matter. They do it all the time.
Yeah, but there are potential, like there was no boundary in like how far. It wasn't classy.
It wasn't classy.
I think there was a boundary.
It was petty. Right, sure.
But that's what Bravo is. Here's the thing. I think that people are just mad that it's like, oh, you took it too far, but it's like, okay, this is the most highest rate. This is the Bravo in its top form. So now people are mad that like it doesn't, they don't like it. So then don't watch it.
It's kind of like saying Jerry Springer is icky.
It is.
It is.
Yeah, it is. But I'm saying, but that's like sort of in its
so
nature.
So icky.
But here's the thing. I think people, when they say they feel icky, is that what they really feel icky about is that like they
like it.
Like it.
No, and it's I agree.
That's what I mean. It's like, okay, like you can, yeah, that is a reflection of you feeling a certain way about what you're consuming. But that's, again, like we've been doing this the whole time. None of this is new.
But here's an example. I hear you about the Bravo thing, and I was 100% on the train of like watching. I didn't feel comfortable being like, Raquel's a fucking whore, slut, whatever, all of the shit that people were saying.
I don't think any of us felt comfortable
No, I know that, but right. They were bringing the people on from VPR to say those things. They didn't say them themselves, but they were opening the doors to do that. They let, there was no like, okay, that's enough, Ariana, like Raquel's sort of a person here too. Fucking Lisa was defending hard. We talked about this, Tom, like way less than Raquel.
Yeah, Lisa is a misogynist.
Right, I know, but there was no sense of responsibility there. It was, so I watched the Amber Heard and on Netflix, Amber Heard, Johnny Depp documentary. You were reminded of the ickiness of like social media part in like the Amber versus Johnny Depp thing.
I don't think that's comparable.
I'm just saying if court TV or like not court TV, if the court itself was sort of in like letting it happen.
If the court was interviewing the people, say what they.
Then I think that's sort of like what's sort of happening.
But that's the legal system. This is a show that people get paid a lot of money to be on. And Raquel started to date James because of the show. It's like,
I think Bravo is very lucky that Raquel didn't try to hurt herself.
That's exactly what I said to Sammy.
Yes.
Because I think that would have been a very bad look for them. And like, right. I thought of that during the reunion. I was like, this is like a very intense public takedown where everyone in America hates you. And like, for some reason, I feel like Tom is too delusionally confident to like even really let it get to him. But she just seems like she is slightly more weak spirited in a lot of ways.
Yes.
And like, I could have seen a world in which she like did try to hurt herself.
Agreed.
I mean, when we were talking about it every week, there was a point at which I was like, I'm going to personally tone down, wait to see more of the information about like before it becomes her blame. Because if you remember, we're looking at it as if we always saw it the way it is now, but you have to remember there was like weeks of mystery solving of like, when did they do it? Why did they do it? What's really true? And I think that a lot of the talk was parsing through that. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that like—
And because Raquel, they were like lying about it. And she was like, yeah, she was—
We were watching
totally.
It in real time happen, or not in real time.
Right, we were watching it. I don't think that like, I think that everyone's rewriting a little bit of history about how everyone has been treated. And just because Tom Sandoval—
No, we said the same stuff.
No, not us. No, I'm not saying us. I'm saying other people are rewriting this. It's like, do you not think that you would say that if 3 weeks after someone you like were best friends with found out that they were sleeping with your partner of 10 years, you don't think you'd have some really vicious things to say in a reunion? Like, I feel that almost anything you could say would be justified. I don't—
Right. It was very close in time to when it actually happened.
Yeah. Like, and that's the first time they see each other. And this was someone who called herself your best friend. We all watched in when they were camping, when Raquel was like, you guys are my chosen family. It's like, now they want to pretend like they're not right. friends. But we were watching her say, you're my best friend. And we knew that he was sleeping, that they right. were sleeping together at the time. So it's not the same.
No one. Now. No, I agree. Yeah. I don't, I'm not saying that Raquel has no fault in any of it. Like, everything she did was fucked up. And I just mean, like, there could have been a little, like, a little less ick coming. There could have been a little bit more responsibility from Bravo. Because I said the same thing. I was like, if Raquel was pounded on, like, on social media.
But wasn't Tom so much more pounded than Tom. On? I felt this whole time.
I mean, it is called Scandoval. It is called Scandoval. It's not called Raquel to Raquel. It's called Scandoval. So, yeah, like, yes, it is all about him, but in many ways, she was getting a lot of shit too. And
as she should have. Honestly. Like, I as know. She should have. It was
but
wrong.
But it's okay to say it's icky.
Fine.
That they, like, that it was a little icky. Like, I'm not saying that it, like, Bethany's right, because there's also so much shit about
Bethany's
now.
Bethany's wrong for other reasons.
There's, like, I just saw on Instagram, Kyle Cook commented on another Bravo account's thing, because, first of all, Raquel wasn't paid to do this interview with Bethany.
Are people ever paid to do interviews?
No, like, but the irony of it all, Bethany cashing in ads as she exposes Bravo's exploits, in quotes, and gives Rachel, quote, a voice. Because this is all about, like, giving, she keeps writing, giving women a voice. Like, Bethany.
Raquel also has social media. She could just speak it on there.
Right, exactly. She literally has more ad spots than any other podcast I've ever listened to. And Rachel won't see a dime, LOL. I bet she had to pay her way to fly to B just to record this. If this was a true PSA, it would be ad-free.
And also, if it were a true PSA, she would let Raquel talk rather than making it, like, a thing for her own agenda. It would have been released in one spot, in one day.
She also posted a story of how she's, like, topping the charting. And it's all about, like, giving women a voice.
So here's the thing. Everything Bethany is, Raquel is not. Like, they are the complete opposite in terms of, like, I would say, like, thoughtful manipulation of a situation and, like, figuring out ways to make money and figuring out the bigger picture of what they're doing. Like, it's just worlds away.
Well, I think they're both guided by, like, immediate impulses. I will say they seem to share
I think Bethany is a much smarter and has a much larger long-term vision.
Okay. Can I ask, because I know people say, like, Raquel was pounded on so much more than Sandoval. Maybe this is like I'm projecting onto what I see of other people, but I feel that, like, in my mind, Sandoval is the evil, the target, and I thought that that's how everybody was treating this. Like, I feel that Raquel, like, at first it was, my feelings towards her were, like, really, really, really negative. But it wasn't like, I was like, fuck Raquel. Like, no, this is clearly Tom Sandoval is a dick. And then over time, as, like, got more clues and context, I was like, I can examine Raquel more wholly, but still Sandoval is the victim. And still Raquel was wrong. But she, you know, I hope that she, I thought it was good that she was off the show.
The way in which everybody was just, like, rush to call her Rachel this, Rachel that.
I never called her Rachel. I still won't.
Okay, but people, like, that's part of it. It was like, just like treating her like garbage in a way rather than like a person who did something bad. You know what I mean? Like, it was like a different type of thing. It was a different, it just feels differently when you're like kind of targeting, like, we had this debate, like, who's more responsible? And I was always
it's always the cheater.
Tom, right.
Yeah.
But everyone, it's easy to go after the women. It's just easy. And that's what I felt watching Amber and Tom.
But
and
she also had this Johnny. Very serious friendship with Ariana, which you saw in the show. And I think that was the part that felt like.
And it was annoying to hear her on the podcast being like, well, we really weren't that friends.
Well, that's
and it
what I'm saying.
She was just my acquaintance.
Who became friends on the show. So you're friends. Right.
Whatever. But
the other thing that Raquel said on part two is that Tom told her he was offered a producer credit for season 11. if because of, you know, as they were
for this next season.
No, right now, like what they're filming now.
Yeah.
And Raquel says, like, well, he was offered a producer credit, and I'm like, you know, nothing. But
she's not coming back. She hasn't been filming.
No, she's not. And good for her. I thought until this Bethany thing, I was like, good. She really is serious about her mental health. This isn't going to be good for her. I think over time people will forgive her and she'll be, you know, whereas if she goes on and tries to defend herself and like Tom seduces mm-hmm. her and manipulates her again, it just makes it worse. But
yeah, good for her.
She also said that she also stands by that Sheena punched her. And
I mean, I don't care if Sheena punched her, to be honest. I'm not like that concerned. Like, that doesn't worry me.
I don't think it's great that Sheena was physical. That's bad. Like, that's cause, especially because I think as high as Vanderpump just went, it's going to go that low next year. And the reason is mm-hmm. partly because there's this James and Kristen abuse thing mm-hmm. that's kind of mm-hmm. bubbling. And I think that the physicality with Sheena, the debate of whether that really happened, I think that there's going to come – things are going to come up about, like, the producers hiding physical, you know, physical altercations and
– I mean, James is the most verbally abusive person I've ever seen on TV. Mm-hmm. So I can yeah. only imagine what else is out there. And no one really seems to care that much. That was the other part about this whole scandal now looking
and
back.
And physically.
That's kind of weird. Is that, I mean, I haven't seen as much evidence on the show, but it's like not even hidden how verbally abusive he is to every single person around him. And no one really seems to care that much, which
there was also that debate about on the reunion about whether James had like, what was it, grabbed a girl's ass, right? That was a debate on the reunion. And Sandoval was like, you touched someone's. She's like, you put your hands on her and they kind of like swept by it.
Yeah.
And he was like, no, it didn't happen.
Which I'm sure is
James said, no, it didn't happen.
Right.
No, yeah. I think there's definitely some fire where there's smoke when it comes to James. But like,
yeah,
I don't
you
know.
Have to worry when you're on top for two.
I mean, he and Lala like took this and made it in their image. And it's just mm-hmm. like. You should not throw stones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's going to come back to them. Anyway. I think that's it, right, for this week's
yeah.
At Betches podcast. Who are we sending to the Caymans?
Bethany
or?
Who else? Sam Asghari. Sam Asghari. Oh,
Sam
definitely Asghari.
I was thinking him.
Sorry, I forgot about that whole conversation.
Yeah,
Brittany's ex is going. And by the way, I think we saw a reviewer being like, I don't really understand. Why are you rewarding all these people to go to Cayman Islands?
Oh, we explained that.
Oh, you explained it. Okay, yeah. I didn't get to that part.
You know what? I'm upset we didn't get to talk about the Michael Orr story because although I think it's going to keep going. So
I agree. I think
more is going to be developed.
I feel that there's a lot of shoes to drop there. So we'll
next
get back
time.
To it. We'll get back to it.
Well, all right. That's it for this week's At Betches podcast. You can follow me at Aileen.
Follow me at Sammy.
I'm at Jordana Abraham. Be sure to rate, review, and subscribe, and we'll see you next week on the At Betches podcast.
At Betches is produced by Sean Kilby, Jorge Morales-Pico, Rebecca Sosmacat, and Aliza Zim. Editing by Basilio Perez. Be sure to follow At Betches on Instagram and send us your emails to podcast@betches.com.
Betches.